The following program is a presentation of Short Track America.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
Welcome back to another edition of ASA Fastlane. I'm Jack Smith, and I'm here with Terry Wall. How you doing, Terry? How are we doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Jack.
Right,
hello,
good.
Everybody, and welcome to another edition of Fastlane.
All right, man. I'll tell you what. Last week's show, we kind of got had technical issues beyond belief, and you know, that happens. We got that straightened out. I'll tell you what. There's some exciting news coming out. The Missouri 100, which is this weekend at
Odessa.
Yeah, Odessa, I-70 Speedway out there. That's the KC Power Equipment race. It's the Missouri 100 presented by the KC Power Equipment. It's going to be broadcast live. Dennis Michelson, who is the host of the ASA Late Model Series radio show, is going to be teamed up with Matt Prier, who's the voice of the ASA Late Model Series, for an exclusive live race coverage of the Missouri 100. And I guess that's going to be broadcast on the internet. And the cars and stars of the nation's leading late model stock car series will be taking on the super high banks of I-70 Saturday night, June 9th, 2007. If you
I-70 has a very historical history in ASA. It was one of the tracks on the old school ASA was in existence, and it is very high banked, very fast track. Reminds me of Salem, Indiana, high bank track.
And if you,
Odessa has a huge history in ASA.
So if you can't be at the track, listen live on Race Talk Radio, starting at 8:30 Central Standard Time, and we will certainly be listening ourselves. Can't wait to hear that, Dennis Michelson and. Does a great job with that deal with Race Talk Radio and of course Matt Prier. He is no doubt the voice of the ASA Late Model Series. Terry, tonight's show, we're going to talk to Sean Murphy and Chris Fontaine. Sean, of course, runs the Challenge Division and selected other races, and Chris started out racing the Challenge Division, but he's sort of opted to. Thinks he'll have better luck focusing more of his attention just on the Southern Division. And we're going to talk to both of those guys, and hopefully we're going to check back with Wes Burton, and should be fun.
Yeah, Wes Burton is a young gentleman we talked to last week when we had technical difficulties, and we're lucky enough to have been able to track him down so he can be on this week's show also.
That's should be a wild thing out there. It's I've not been to that track. Have you been to that track and actually seen races there?
Odessa?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's out there where you're familiar with them stomping grounds, huh?
Oh yeah. Odessa has been a little rough in the past, but a very high speed track, and you really got to be on your toes to get around that place.
Yeah, that should be fun. And then the next race for the Southern Division is. Of course, New Smyrna Speedway, New Smyrna, Florida. It's a half mile track just near Daytona, and that's on June 23rd. And sandwiched in between there, we have the Challenge Division race up at Berlin, Michigan, right?
Right, Berlin, Michigan, the track that Johnny Benson, the Craftsman truck driver, owns.
Yeah, now these guys, we talk to these guys each week. One of the things that has most amazed us is how well these drivers, not only they present themselves well on the track and do a good job on the track as drivers, they present themselves pretty good as they represent the sport of stock car racing pretty good. And they're very interesting to interview because like you and I have talked about many times, for some of these guys who race around, we talk to around the country over the years, it's easier for them to get in a car, a lot easier than it is. They have better luck with that than they do talking. But I'll tell you, we've had some great interviews with some of these young guys and some of the veterans too. I mean, they're pretty good.
Yeah, I'm still amazed and will be amazed forever on how the tide has turned as far as young race car drivers. In the past, you never heard of a 14, 15, 16-year-old race car driver being successful in late models and different things like that. But as we go along in the ASA series and the ASA Fastlane, we're talking to more and more younger people. And not that the old guard's not there. Peter Cozzolino sure definitely represents the old guard and Eddie Hoffman Jr., but we're talking to more people all the time. It's younger, younger, and younger.
And we're going to do exactly that now because the people come and pay for this show. They pay to be to hear the stars, not hear us. And so we're going to take a quick break, Terry. How about that? And we come back with Sean Murphy, driver of the number 32 ASA late model.
Sounds good.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
All right, here we are, ASA Fastlane, another Wednesday. And this week we're going to spend some time with Sean Murphy, who is he's done a lot of racing, and now he's doing the ASA. Sean has a pretty big background in stock cars with the Craftsman Truck Series, and we're going to find out a lot about Sean Murphy here in the next few minutes. Welcome to ASA Fastlane, Sean.
Thanks, hey. Guys, how you guys doing?
Not too bad. Welcome to ASA Fastlane, John. Now, I've heard a lot about you. Give us a little background so our listeners will know more about you, and then we can go from there.
I was born down in New Zealand and moved up here moved to Florida when I was six, and started racing when I was like 10. My dad got me into go-kart racing, and after that, it was all road racing stuff. Started road racing go-karts, and moved up from go-karts to road race cars. I went over to Europe, done all the road racing there, Formula cars, and that went real well. Was on some Formula One junior teams, and after the Formula One junior teams, I went, got a couple factory rides with some factory teams like Porsche and Saline. Then in 2002, came back to the U.S. and started racing stock cars, late models down in Florida, started off down in Hialeah, progressed through Florida short tracks and a super late. Met a guy that was wanting to run some Craftsman truck races, and he was a construction builder. Now he turns to be my manager, and I've done about 18 truck races, and that went real well. And this year, just I met up with the guys from ASI, Ken Smith, that owns the team, and they sponsored a truck there at Talladega for me, and they liked what they seen me driving-wise, and they asked me to come drive their ASA tour car for them, and kind of like take a step back and run a full deal. I figured this year, a championship, go for, you know, try to win the championship, and, well, as a rookie of the year, you know, it's big expectations, but I kind of one of them deals where you take a step back, maybe hopefully take, you know, a bigger step forward eventually.
Wow, that's amazing.
Well, how old are you, John?
22.
22?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you're still a relatively young man in the racing industry, but I would say your goals is as same as all the other young drivers is moving up on into the NASCAR rank.
Yes, exactly. Move up to Nextel Cup eventually. Hopefully, when I'm around 25, that's what I'm really, you know, shooting for.
Man, this got to be quite a trip. Going from, I mean, you've got a more varied motorsports racing background than the majority of the guys you compete against. Does the road racing experience and on the European deal and all of that, how does that help you prepare you for the stock car racing deals?
It actually was a real good kind of training ground because Formula Race, Formula Renault, and Formula 3 over in Europe, it's kind of like the best of the best trying to make it to Formula 1. So it's not only kind of like a sprint race, you know, a short race. We didn't have pit stops or anything. So it was always kind of, as they say, up on the wheel and going for it.
Yeah.
Racing, and not only guys in your country, but guys from, like, the European Union. And, you know, people come over from Japan and India. And it's just a great fast, you know, the best in the world are doing it. That are in your age bracket, it's, you know, it just mentally and physically gets you ready, and it actually helps a lot in stock car racing, but you kind of need to turn it down a notch on the longer races, or you wind up, you know, with stuff broke and wore the car out. That's what I started doing. I got some factory rides with Saline, running the American Le Mans Series and the European Le Mans Series, and it, you know, that really helped with them, you know, 6 to 12 hour endurance races, just due to the fact of pacing yourself, you know, and that really rolls over in a stock car race very well.
Wow, yeah, no doubt. What has been your experience? How are you doing so far this year in the ASA? What you've been racing in the Challenge division as well as some selected other races?
We've been good. We've had good cars, or just. We've been getting better now, you know, luck. I put myself in some position, you know, getting the back. You know, there's always clowns in any series, and I just got caught up in some unfortunate incidents, you know, in the beginning of the year, the second race, kind of put me to the back, and, you know, we've just been chugging along, not really aiming to win races, just, you know, top fives, and, you know, if a win comes, it does, but, you know, consistent top fives, I think, will win you a championship.
Let's and so you're running the full Challenge division?
Yes.
Yeah.
All 12 races, I think, or 13.
And you've found the competition level to be have you found that it is tougher in the Challenge division, not just because the races are longer, but is the competition tougher, or is that not the case?
Yeah, the competition is tough, you know, and since it's like the spec kind of a car, you know, it comes down to a lot of getting your car set up right for the race and, you know, trying to conserve and save tires, you know, save your car and don't wear it out in the beginning so you have something there to race with at the end and kind of hope attrition and everything else falls your way.
Yeah.
Well, you're looking to go for the championship?
Yes. That's the main goal right now is I think we're 8 points and only about 100 out of first. So, you know, I can see us, hopefully, if other guys get bad luck, consistently run the top five, top three bracket, and I don't see why we couldn't go for the win.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said, of course, the goals are always, you know, to win as many races as you can, but, You know, you got to look at the big picture, too.
Yeah.
Are you going to do any other racing this year, super late model, or any other type of series while you're doing the ASA thing?
Yes, actually, I am going to run the CRA Triple Crown at O'Reilly Raceway Park, then the Winchester 400, and then the All-American 400. We'll be doing them races with a super late model car based out of the same team, Ken Smith's deal. And we raced that down at Speed Weeks in New Smyrna and proved to be a very good piece. I think we sat pole two nights in a row and sat outside pole one other night. Had our fair share of bad luck, but just stuff breaking.
What's the deal with the CRA series, John? What is that series like? Where do they run, and where do you run it?
Honestly, I'm new to it. You know, I just came out of Florida running the Fast Car Sunbelt series, but the CRA is kind of, I guess it's like a touring series for like super late models, the way I've been looking at it. It's kind of like ASA, but
right.
CRA.
Yeah, I got you. It's a CRA Super Series. Is that, I think that's what they call it, matter of fact.
Yeah, exactly, the CRA Super Series.
Yeah. So, what do you think about it? You've raced in some of the super late model races in Florida. Is there any particular reason it just doesn't fit your schedule, or what? Like the races just happened at Lakeland. The triple, that was the first race of their Triple Crown just recently. You're not running those races?
I wish I could. You know, just I like racing in Florida, and I like racing against the guys I grew up racing with. And, we haven't got the super late model together yet. Just kind of schedules conflicting pretty big. So
yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, and it's so your next race in the ASA is Berlin Raceway.
Yes, I think 2 week or a weekend from now.
Yeah,
I think Berlin Raceway. Yeah, pretty cool place.
Johnny Benson owns that racetrack.
Is that right?
Yep.
Have you raced there before, Sean?
No, I haven't. I'm basically new to every track until we start getting in the South, like Virginia and Pensacola there towards the end of the year. Every other place I've never been to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
It makes it a little difficult at the start, but...
Yeah, but that in most of the ASA events, we have an extra... You have the day, full day of practice before in most of the events, right? So is that helpful?
Yes, that helps a lot, you know. It definitely helps a lot. Get the track learned, get the car setups correct, and try to, you know, proceed. Everybody else, you know, also kind of helped, you know, everybody else in the competition, but
yeah,
it's a stronger prevail.
So what's Sean Murphy doing when he's not wheeling a race car getting ready to race?
I'll work on the race cars mainly, but... Other than that, hobbies and stuff, I love fishing, offshore fishing.
Yeah.
I grew up doing it down in Florida. I'm up in Indianapolis now, so it's kind of like landlocked, but.
Oh, that's where you live now, in Indianapolis?
Part-time. I'm up there for a couple of weeks, and if we got a weekend off, I'll go back home. My dad has a little butcher shop down in South Florida.
That's cool.
A little butcher shop down in South Florida. I like to help him out. He's got me going down there this coming weekend. He's all wired out about hurricane season. So
you're
down
right.
There and help him get ready for it.
Yeah.
You know, he's helped me a lot in racing. The least I can do is help him back.
Yeah.
You're looking for a little bit of an Indy ride up there in Indianapolis, are you?
Indy cars are cool. I have some friends that actually race Indy car. So we grew up go-karting together. Yeah, it's cool, but my main goal right now is stock cars, is NASCAR. You know, that's what my mindset is. You know, my dad's always like, you should go do some road racing. But, you know, if I also do road racing, I'd probably go back over to Europe because just the competition levels are so great over there in road racing than it is in the U.S. You know, that's the way I feel like, you know, Formula One is the upper echelon, but all the touring car series that are based out of, you know, Europe and England is just, I mean, second to none.
Yeah.
Danica Patrick went over there and raced for a while. Scott Speed and A.J. Allmendinger and a few of the ones that are big names over here now has raced in that European Series.
Huh. Yeah, exactly. It's definitely, I think they ran Formula Fords up in, over there in, England. Raced Formula Renault in the European Championship, but anywhere you look at it, England or Europe, just the competition is like second to none. It's like racing cup level on every level you race over there.
Yes, Sean, you were born in New Zealand, right?
Yes.
How did and you did you live over there like when you were very young, and do you have relatives there, or do you go back, or what?
Yeah, I have relatives over there, mainly in Australia. My mom's Australian, my dad's Irish, so
I gotcha.
My dad had a sausage company in New Zealand, and that's where my mom and dad lived, and lived there for a little while, and we moved to Australia, and then moved from Australia to the U.S. when I was six, to Fort Lauderdale, and that's basically where I latter part of my life.
Yeah, them people in Australia, they love sprint car racing, huh?
Yeah, sprint car and dirt car racing is getting huge down there. Dirt late models tracks are getting real big.
Yeah.
But don't they go the wrong way on the track?
No, they actually go the same way we do.
They do some crazy things in their stock car racing, though. They have some wild racing, no doubt. But they love. We always talk, every year we get to talk to some of the guys who, World of Outlaw race car drivers that go down there, and the sprint car guys. And they go down and race in Australia. The people love them, man. It's cool. It's very cool.
Dirt racing is going to. I said dirt racing is going to be like the Nextel Cup of Australia here in the next couple of years. So.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what my uncle. I talked to my uncle and look on the computer and stuff. And it's definitely expanding.
Have you ever raced dirt?
No, but I want to. I really want to. I've done like drag racing. I've done road racing, and the two things I really want to do is rally cars and dirt racing.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
my dad grew up doing rally cars, so I mean.
I think rally drivers in Europe are the best drivers in the world.
Yeah, hands down, I believe like them guys like Marcus Brunholm and Tommy Mäkinen and Sebastian Loeb, them guys are just second to none when it comes to like car control and just putting it out there. It's incredible.
And this is on, you're talking like street course racing, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, street course and through the country racing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It's the best.
Yeah, no doubt. It's surprising, maybe Sean could shed some light on this. It's surprising to me that we don't see more of those guys come over and be hired guns in NASCAR at the road courses.
I don't know because I've never raced NASCAR. Well, I've raced heavy cars like a Trans Am car on the road course before, and it's definitely, it's pretty cool. But I don't know if it's a money situation or just, them guys have a lot of pride. They always made fun of NASCAR guys when I was over here. Everybody, was always like, they just turn left, in a circle.
Yeah,
boring to them.
Yeah, but
yeah, and I was one of those guys too. Like I was when I was over here, and never shed light on NASCAR. It was always like, they just turned left, it's funny.
So Sean, now this is your goal in life. So how did it come to be that you shifted your gears there?
When I came back to the U.S., a friend of my dad's, or actually a guy we had met, had a Goody's dash car, and we went and tested it at Lakeland, and it was like my first time in a stock car, per se, other than doing a ride-along at a Richard Petty thing in Charlotte, but it like opened my eyes. It was like, wow, this stuff is actually pretty cool, and we started racing, Lakeland, New Smyrna, Hialeah, over in Ponte Gorda, DeSoto, and it was just, it's something you don't achieve in road racing. It's normally like you pass a guy in a corner, and that's it. Like, you get a good race on an oval car. I mean, I think it's totally awesome racing some guy, too wide for 15 to 20 laps. It's just, it's fun. It puts you right there on the edge. It's kind of like an adrenaline junkie, so it all adds up together.
Yeah, I gotcha. And you know what? For a fan, if you can get that, even if the you know, when two guys are racing side by side like that, and it happens once in a while where they really go at it for 10, 15 laps, there's nothing better for race fans. That's what we want to see, you know, and we need to see more of that. I think that's one of the appeals for one of the things I like about the ASA late model series is the cars are so even, and it's something we wanted to ask you about. The cars are a lot more comparable to each other and a lot more level playing field than a lot of other traveling series or a lot of other stock car racing that we see. And, you know, do you feel that way too, or how do you see that?
Yeah, most definitely. It's a lot of them things, you know, to do with like that crate motor program's an excellent program because it doesn't allow people to go spend like a super light model engine, like $30,000, you know, $35,000. A crate motor, something you buy off the shelf from, you know, GM, it's only a couple $1,000s, but it really brings back the playing field and puts it even to where you got to really get your car set up right, you know, be driver smart to kind of go forward in the whole deal.
Yeah, then when you were up at the first race of the year in the South Division, you were at Bronson, and I believe I spoke with you briefly. I think you were there with Butch Miller.
Yes.
Yeah.
Butch.
Yeah. Is he still involved with you, or do you have a different setup now? What's all that?
Butch is kind of buddies with a team owner, but my crew chief on the ASA Pro Tour Series is Dion Deneau. I used to be Butch Miller's crew chief when they used to run them ASA Tour cars back a couple years ago in the other, like the original, I guess, ASA Challenge Tour Series.
Yeah.
And he's my crew chief now, and we're getting along pretty good, you know. We're figuring each other out on setups and everything else, so panning out to be pretty good.
All right. That's cool.
Yeah, Butch Miller goes way back. I think he was one of the original Craftsman Truck Series drivers, too, when they started in 95.
I believe so.
Butch Miller is one of the good guys.
Yeah, sure enough.
He's actually a pretty cool guy to have around. You know, he gives me a lot of pointers on the new tracks we're going to and stuff. And it's cool, you know, to learn off of somebody like that.
I'll tell you, you know, the ASA series as it existed, say, prior to 2000, 2001, 2002, somewhere along in there when it all changed, prior to that, and Terry knows more about this than I do, but it was one of the best racing series in stock car ever. I mean, that was some of the best. Jimmy Johnson was one of the guys that came out of there in the last days of the original family series there. And
some of the older drivers.
Oh man, Martin,
Rusty Wallace,
sure,
Alan Wiki, Dick Trickle, and that when Rex and Brian Robbins had it, it was. They started from scratch and made it to the point where it was a nationally known series. And they also had a television contract.
Yep. And
for the ASA series. So hopefully ASA can get another TV contract to help support you guys.
That other series has a telephone contract. That's but you know, Sean, that's
TNT a call.
That's what we get excited about, the ASA series, because, you know, we see what Ron Varney and his staff are doing, man. And I just think it's cool as heck. It's like, you got real tight competition. You got some veterans, but there's a lot of guys like yourself that are young, really trying to make a mark, you know, and it's really exciting for us as fans.
Exactly. It's, you know, it's cool to learn off the veterans that say, you know, people can tell you all you want, you know, sitting around a racetrack, but it's up to the person itself who's driving the thing to put it all together.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's pretty cool, man. And who are your sponsors, Sean? You got some sponsorship on that car?
Yeah, it's ASI Limited. The fellow owns the team, Ken Smith. It's his company, ASI Limited. And we have Spectrum Metal Finishing, Axo Nobel, and Aluminum Shapes are all the sponsors on the car.
Yeah, that's the number 32.
Yes.
Yeah, and so people need to look for that at Berlin Raceway coming up here in June. And are you going to come down to New Smyrna and tackle that in the Southern Division race on the 23rd?
I want to. I've been on to them pretty hard because New Smyrna back in Florida was my favorite track to race. It was cool.
And it's got that new pavement.
Yes, we raced it down at Speed Week with that new pavement and that super late model, and I loved it. You know, it took the grip. It was fast. It was awesome.
Yeah, very fast. And they took the how's the bumps down there in turn 3 and 4?
The bumps are all gone.
There you go.
The bumps are all gone.
No way.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
The bumps have been there for, what, 50 years now?
Yeah, pretty much. So it's,
yeah, I mean, you know, it was funny because I kind of know David Rogers, and him and I were talking. He was saying, you know, he don't remember how long the bumps were there. He's been there since they first started racing, I think, and as he said, the bumps have been there since day one, he thought.
Yeah, them bumps were probably there when it was still dirt. So.
I think David Rogers probably won't be able to get through that turn anymore because he knew where they were and how to get around them. Now he's going to have to change his line altogether.
Yeah, he can still get it done.
Yeah, he can get it done down there. He's taken me to school many a time, but he's first, I'm in second. At that place.
All right, Sean.
I really appreciate all the time you gave us today. This has been a 25-minute interview. It seems like 5 minutes.
I tell you,
we gotta go. We got more show to do, and I'm looking forward to meeting you. Did you talk to him about the Bristol race? You gonna make the Bristol race, Sean?
Oh, he'll be there.
That's one of the places I'm really looking forward to. It.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably meet you there at Bristol then. I'll have my fancy tag that Jack's going to make me, Fastlane tag, and I'll walk around and meet everybody and
shake
their hand. I'm looking forward to it. I've never been to Bristol.
And hopefully your team will get down there to New Smyrna and we'll catch you there. I think we're going to broadcast that race live, so it should be a lot of fun, man. And thanks again for spending some time with us on the ASA Fastlane, Sean Murphy, and the best of luck to you. We'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
No problem, guys. Thanks. Anytime you want to talk to me, it's fine.
All right, man.
Okay, cool.
See you later.
Later.
All right, that's Sean Murphy, driver of the number 32 ASA late model.
The more we do this series, the more I'm impressed with the drivers in the ASA.
Isn't it cool? I'm telling you, Terry, it is so cool, man.
We've been looking forward to this the whole time we've been friends, I know.
Yep.
This kind of excitement and good feeling.
Yep, there's no doubt about it, man, because there's some veterans that are just out there, you know, having fun and trying to prove they still got something for them. But, you know, there's so many of these young guys, too, these guys got a goal in mind, and, you know, and they're trying to get there as fast as they can. And
right.
It's pretty cool. So we're going to be talking later with some other drivers, just like we always do, Chris Fontaine,
right.
Wes Burton, and you never know who we might talk to on the ASA Fastlane.
All right. We're going to take a break now, a long-deserved break.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Every year, you assemble your closest friends to prepare for another season in the knockdown, drag-out world of make-believe football.
4th and inches.
You were born with the one skill every manager needs to play fantasy football. Absolutely no skill playing real football.
Not so good at catching.
Imaginary catches. Imaginary touchdowns. Next up, an imaginary score with an imaginary woman.
Good imagination.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Swami of the sidelines. You may come in dead last, but you're always first with us.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Welcome back to ASA Fastlane. We now have Chris Fontaine on the line. Chris Fontaine is one of the many racers for the ASA series. And how you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to the next race.
And when's the next race? We were talking about that before we went on the air. But when's your next race?
It's going to be the South race in New Smyrna Beach on the 23rd of this month.
23rd of June.
Yeah.
Have you tested there with the new surface?
Yeah, we have, and we're really not sure where we need to be at because we haven't been out there with another ASA car yet to be able to compare times. So I think we're going to go early next week and be with a couple other cars and be able to dial in a little bit better and be able to have something to compare to.
Well, I've been many hours at New Smyrna Beach Raceway, or I don't know what they call it now, but never been there when it's been repaved. So I don't know if I can make this race or not, but I sure want to get down there and see that new track. I can't believe Robert Hart actually spent money. But don't tell him I said that, will you, Chris?
He's done quite a bit. They didn't just repave the track. You know, they've of course, in the last few years, they've gradually increased the aluminum grandstands. They got the big tower now and the big aluminum grandstands, and they've done a lot of the entire pits, or not the entire, but much of the pits are now paved, a lot of landscaping. It's pretty nice, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah, you can tell they're really putting forth the effort to look forward to the next couple of years and the improvements they're going to make.
Well, I mean, you got to spend money to make money, and Mr. Hart has a tremendous facility there.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And I applaud him for repaving the track.
Yeah, they got a big electronic one of those modern electronic digital signs out front where they can change the messages and what's coming up and stuff like that. It's going to be a pretty cool event. And The track is in great, great shape. But so Chris, you've been racing in some trucks here lately too again, huh?
Yeah, we did the Craftsman Truck Race in Mansfield, Ohio. Didn't get a whole lot of practice, and they didn't give me the rookie practice either because I had been there before, so that was kind of a setback for us. But we qualified 17th out of 37 in the race, got as high as 6th. Before a bad pit stop and made it, had to start at the end of the longest line for that one, and we could only make it back up to 17th again.
Hey, started 17th, finished 17th, so that's better than your last trip there, isn't it, though?
Well, the last trip there didn't qualify really good at all, but we did finish 17th. So we went a lap down and got it back because of the lucky dog, but this one going a lap down was never an issue, and I really felt like we kept up to the pace that time. It's a tough track to press on, and we had a lot of cautions with the rain out and stuff, but we didn't get really a lot of good green flag long run. But
may I ask how old you are, Chris?
What's that?
How old are you?
25.
I love your name. I think your name, Chris Fontaine, would be a perfect name for NASCAR.
Well, get it there.
It would bring a lot of charisma.
It is one of those names. It's easy. It just sort of rolls off. It is a good one, marketing wise, and that's pretty cool. You know,
like Sounds like a WWE wrestler.
Yeah.
Chris Fontaine.
That's right. And good for those announcers who can do that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Chris, now have you, you're really going to focus on the Southern Division the rest of the year as your prime focus? Is that what we're hearing?
Yeah, we didn't do that well in the challenge. The Red Old Tars are new to us, so we did the first three of those, and we want to do some more of them, but we've second in the points in the South, so we really want to concentrate on doing as much testing as we can and being fast at those races.
Yeah, and yeah, it's tough. It's a tough deal, man. And like as you've I'm sure you can attest, it's a grueling task just to get into the race.
Yeah, there's been, I think, no less than 35 cars at all the races, so really just to make the field is you have to be up on your game, and the times are so close. It's really competitive, and we enjoy running it. I think at the two South ones, there was 40 cars at each of those, so
yeah,
it's getting really competitive, and it's a lot of fun. When you're
Do
on
you feel like, Chris, that the low-cost crate motor has contributed to the number of cars that's been showing up?
I think it helps. But I don't know, just because they were so inexpensive, we ended up getting three of them. So it kind of
really
didn't work out like that for us. But we felt like we could come into the series as well, or trying to be as well prepared as we could. And now we've got three cars that are all race ready. So
well, the thing is that you can buy three motors or four motors, maybe five or six, for the cost of one motor that you had to run before.
Yeah, it definitely is a big help. And the only thing that we find that is difficult for us is just the traveling and trying to run the challenge in the South. You can't go to every one of them, but you're going across the country, so that was part of the big part of why we're just going to concentrate on the South and do a couple more challenge races.
Now, Chris, you're from the Lakeland area. You still live in that area?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, you of course, you grew up here racing around Florida, and, of course, Florida fans are pretty familiar with you. But for people around the country, I mean, you've been racing quite a long time. You've had some Craftsman truck experience like we talked about, and you've had some pretty good success. You've won some super late model races, and was that last year? Oh, man, time just gets so squirrely. But last year, you just about won the All-American Challenge Series at DeSoto Super Speedway, which is no small accomplishment. And I think you kind of may have even gotten a little bit of a bum deal there. But that was a pretty good experience, huh?
Yeah, we had been running that series for 2 years. And the last year, we were able to make all the races, and we were fully concentrated on trying to win that championship, and just had one bad race that kind of, we led the points all summer and had one bad race that kind of got it close again, and then there at the end, just kind of, we didn't agree with some of the calls we were getting, but if we were faster, we could have won it in our car. We just couldn't get it back in the way we had at the beginning of the summer.
Right.
It was a heartbreaker, but we lost it to Chiquette, and I guess if you're going to lose it to anyone, he'd be the guy to lose it to.
Yeah, well, you're right. And he's somebody you're going to be racing against real soon at New Smyrna Speedway in the on the June 23rd All-American or the ASA race down there. So, yeah, you're right there. Jeff's a pretty good competitor.
Yeah, that's what you were talking about earlier. Chris, is all the competition and close competition. It's almost like just to make the show, you need to be up on your game, like you said, but you got to be really up on the wheel, too. I mean, you could have a good handling car, but if you're not up on the wheel qualifying, you're not going to make the show. And Jack said on the last show that we had, there's a lot of veterans out there sweating bullets just to make the show.
Yeah, it's real. There's a real diverse group of guys in this series. You've got a lot of young guys with a lot of talent that they've got experience setting up their car, and then you've got all the veterans that have run the tracks before and stuff. So there's such a wide range of personalities and experience there that makes it really tight. And if you're not in the top 10 on the speed charts in practice, you got to be careful not to mess up, because you don't really leave yourself a lot of leeway as far as making it into the race without having to run the GM performance race shootout.
Yeah.
Well, you're a rookie in the series. Is that correct, Chris?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and you are running like a bunch of other people running for the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, it's just two-thirds of the field, I think, are rookies in the South Division. I think it's, yeah.
There's a lot of it.
Yeah. But you may be rookies in the ASA, but there's a lot of you guys that are young guys that have a lot of experience. You've been racing for how long?
I think we're up to 8 or 9 years now. So.
Yeah. Now,
I'm only 9 because I started when I was 16, so almost 9 years.
Yeah, and now when you and your people got together and you decided you're going to tackle the ASA, what were the overriding factors?
I think for us is we had to do some just minor changes to the car. The engines were cheaper, and probably one of the higher ones was the prestige of the ASA still has. It was kind of between ASA and Hooters Cup, and we felt like ASA would better suit us money-wise, and you get, I would say, almost as much recognition, and I would say you only get any less is because it's not televised. If they were televised, I think it would be even bigger.
No doubt.
Yeah, we talked to, who did we talk to? The announcer. What was his name, Jack?
Matt Prayer.
Yeah, we talked to Matt about that, and they said they had a deal last year in place, but it didn't work out like they wanted it, so they're not going to do another deal until they're sure it's what they want.
Yeah, and that's, and that's really, I agree, that's really the way. It's kind of like, some deals are better not, they're better left on the table, because, a bad deal is a bad deal. And it's not going to help anybody. And I hope they hold out and wait until they get a really good one, because, it can backfire against you. People go out try to get arrange a lot of sponsorship and get their sponsors all psyched up about the TV package, and then when it doesn't pan out, not only have the fans been disappointed, but more importantly, the drivers have sometimes alienated some sponsorship.
I think the Speed Channel should pick the ASA series up.
What do you think, Chris?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We put on some good races, and I don't know if they've – well, yeah, they did have a repeat winner so far, but I think there's so many cars that have a chance of winning the race that I think it could be put on a really good show.
Yeah. And now, when you get – you're preparing for New Smyrna. You've been over there doing some testing. Do you see anything – what are the main things you see will play out in this 125-lap race there? Or is it a 100-lap race, I believe?
Yeah, it's a 100-lap
race. Yeah, it's a
100. I'm not really sure. I haven't raced there, but what I've heard at Speed Weeks is the more rubber they put down, the faster the track gets, and how your car is going to go from the first practice to even the start of the race, the track's going to change so much with all those cars there putting rubber down every lap after lap, and at the end of the race, there's just going to be 100 more laps on it, so I think having your car maybe free enough to not push at the end of that 100 laps will win it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There'll be no pit stops in that, do you think?
Oh, I don't think so at all.
No.
Not even on caution, maybe late in the race, somebody might take it on rubber?
I don't say as many cars as are going to be there. I don't think there's any way you could make that back up.
Track position would be everything, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. You better qualify good and stay off the wall.
Keep that right front under you.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like is the pill draw in the ASA. I feel like we should start straight up.
Yeah. And they pull.
How many do they invert?
Well, if you get pulled, the best you can start fifth. or six.
Six.
So,
yeah.
And, after qualifying, you draw out of a bag, and there's sixth, seventh, eighth, or ninth in there, and that's how many they switch. Or at least give it, put a one in there, at least for if you do get pole.
Oh, yeah, they don't put a one in there?
They don't put a one, two, three, four, or five in there.
No, you got it six through nine, and the you
wow.
know, the idea there is that, you know, if you got the fastest car, you're going to have to drive to the front.
Well, you know me, Jack. I totally disagree with that theory. I like Chris's theory better.
Yeah.
It's a traveling series. It's not a national series. Well, yeah, actually, it is. It's people from California and Texas. So
it's America's premier short track series.
Yeah.
And but
I just feel. I mean, we work so hard to get the pole that you kind of want a little more of a reward. I got one in Bronson, and that track is 90% of the time whoever starts first finishes first. So that's kind of why I feel like that. But that was just that track.
Yeah, most of the other tracks are. I mean, there are some other tight ones, but most of the other tracks are more two groove or passable racetracks. And you know, I think the thinking behind it and is. You know, we'll have to ask Ron to get specifically, but I think the thinking behind it is to make it entertaining for the fans.
Oh yeah, I know why they do it. It just I got the pole at one time, so
yeah,
it got me.
Yeah. And you know who liked that rule at Bronson, right?
Oh yeah, I bet I can guess.
Rob Bartolo liked it a whole bunch better than anybody else. Absolutely, he even said that he didn't have the fastest car out there on the track. You know, so yeah.
Yeah, it some days it bites you in the butt, and some days it makes you a hero.
Yeah, that's cool. And what are some of the other big – what are the races down the road here in the ASA Southern Division that you're really looking forward to this year besides, obviously, the next one? What is there any of those tracks that you're really looking forward to going to in a big way?
DeSoto, Bradenton, definitely.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You got maybe a little bit of I won't say a chip, but you got something to prove there, Chris?
Yeah, but I know it's going to be me, Chiquette, and David Wilson. So
there you go. And you all know how to get around that track. You're right. I hadn't thought about that. But David Wilson, number 83 in the Southern Division, and, of course, Jeff Chiquette in the 70. You know, very familiar cars in down here in the state of Florida, and especially at DeSoto Speedway. David Wilson won the final ASA or the All-American Challenge Series 125 last year, the final race of the year, and Chiquette.
Well, what is the date of that race again?
Actually, I'll have to tell you here in just a second, unless Chris just knows it right off the top. I'll get that.
I don't know it yet.
I'll get it for you here in a second.
The reason I ask, that's the race I want to be at. I would take the time to travel to that race.
It's really a tough track to get around if you haven't been there, and
yeah,
so I think it'll be definitely the guys from Florida that have been there will be able to shine at that one if any of them.
October right. the 5th and 6th. Yeah, there's
October 5th and 6th.
Yeah, just as up at the Watermelon Capital Speedway, it wasn't absolutely a big surprise, the result there, the two Georgia guys finished 1-2. I think Chris is absolutely on the ball, Terry, with that one because, you know, that's a tough track for guys that aren't familiar with it, and it's very fast, high banked, 3/8 mile track. And
I worked.
Go ahead, Chris.
Definitely an outside, and then you can pass for the lead on the outside. It's just if your car can get out there. And well, we're really looking forward to the Georgia race that got canceled too. We had went there and tested, and then we're pretty confident we could maybe tamper with that track record. So we're kind of disappointed that happened.
Yeah.
Speaking of testing, do you have any rules as far as testing in the ASA? And my second part of my question, Chris, is the crate motors, do you find them more durable?
Well, we do have a 10-day rule. You can't test 10 days prior.
Okay.
So we make sure we hit that. And I don't think I've run them enough to answer the other question. We haven't had any of ours rebuilt yet, but we've only got three races on the one that's been run the most. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. Have you checked the valves or the lower end on the motor just to see what kind of wear or anything's going on?
Yeah, it all looked good. I think they're going to be reliable. I don't know that we've had anyone's had an issue yet that I've recognized. So I think it'll work out, hopefully.
And you changed the motor exactly the same as you did in your high dollar motor? I changed the oil. I'm sorry.
You were breaking up. I'm sorry.
Do you change the oil as often as you did in your high dollar motor?
Actually, we haven't just because we didn't think that it was running at the tolerances that our other motors were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, you're going to get your chance to go back to South Georgia. I mean, that race in October 5th and 6th, that's DeSoto Speedway, but the double race weekend, what do you think of that? You're going to be at Cecil, Georgia on the 14th and then of September. 14th of September, you'll be in Cecil, Georgia. The very next day, you go up the road to Senoia Raceway in Senoia, Georgia. That's going to be a wild weekend. A lot of things could change hands of points-wise in that weekend.
Oh, most definitely. I'm glad we've got enough cars to be able to run a different one for the night, and we'll just have to go up and do a test weekend or a test week and go to both of them and try and get as fast as we can.
Yeah. Now, is there rules on testing? Like, you can test is it wide open on the testing? You can test as often as you want, or?
The only one we found was just no testing 10 days prior.
Oh, no testing 10 days prior?
Yeah.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. That's interesting. Yeah.
He already said that, Jack.
Oh, I didn't catch that. I think I was looking for, I was off here looking for the dates to the race when that one went down.
Yeah, to confuse Jack sometimes, Chris. He went through the 70.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm as old as your PR guy there, man. me and Barker are in the same boat, Chris.
Yeah.
John's my good buddy, man.
I PR'd for BJ McLeod, Chris, when he was 13, 14 years old.
Really?
Yeah. That was the one was with him when he won the Trek Championship, both at, not DeSoto, Orlando and New Smyrna.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Kenley, North Carolina, 13 years old when he went up there and raced in the ASA that time. That was pretty.
And he won a Southern All-Star race at 411 Speedway in Seymour, Tennessee when he was 14.
Yeah, the ASA was a different animal back then. But So, who's sponsoring you in this deal now?
Right now it's Glidden Enterprises. It's the company that runs my mom's portfolio. And it's basically just my mom though.
Yeah. Okay. What's the name of it again?
Glendon Enterprises.
Oh, Glendon Enterprises. Yeah. There you go. All right, man.
Well, Chris, we sure appreciate you being on our show, and I'm sure you'll be on the show way more times throughout the summer. Thank you for giving us your time, because I know you're busy today with your test at Auburndale. But it was a joy to talk to you, and I'm really impressed by the younger drivers of this generation, because in the old days, when people would interview, it was like yes and no answers. Pretty much, even in the NASCAR rank.
Not only can you guys drive, most of you can talk pretty good too, and that's pretty. It makes our deal a whole lot more fun and a lot more interesting for the fans as well, Chris. You know, because and we're like Terry said, man, we really appreciate you taking the time, and we'll have you back on here pretty soon.
All right, well, give me a call anytime. I love doing it. I appreciate you guys picking me, and hey, we can talk about a win next time.
There you go.
That'd be great.
All right. All right, Chris Fontaine, the ASA Fastlane, and look for Chris at New Smyrna on June 23rd, 2007. We'll be right back.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neon. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pickled Pig's Feet Eater.
Mr. Pickled Pig's Feet Eater.
Ignoring all you know about pigs and where they live and what they step in, you look at their pickled paws and say, yummy.
Look and taste it.
Craving only the most daring meal, you pass up the cow tongue, skate by the head cheese, dismiss the Rocky Mountain oysters.
Rocky Mountain oysters.
But a pig's foot soaked in pickle juice, now that's good eating.
Say Bill Pickle.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Pickled Pig's Feet Eater, because it takes guts to eat those feet.
Thank you, Mr.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
All right, we're back here at the ASA Fast Lane, and we have Wes Burton on the phone, who's busy up there working on race cars in North Carolina, which is what he does when he's not wheeling an ASA late model around the track. Welcome to the show, Wes.
Hey, fellas. Good to be here.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show. We had a little technical difficulty last week when we interviewed Wes, but we're all squared away now.
Very squared away. So how's life up in the Carolinas, man?
It's busy and hot.
Yeah, getting to be there. Go ahead, Jerry. I know you had a question there right on the tip of your tongue for Wes.
Well, no, I want to go refresh everybody's memory or the people that don't know Wes. I want you to go ahead and tell everybody who you are, Wes, where you're from, how you got started racing, and then you can throw in your sponsors, too.
All right, cool. Wes Burton from Keithland, Florida. I guess we started racing go-karts at age 8. I guess funny beginnings, just dad bought a race car, street stock, over the summer. Him and my brother played with it some, and winter time come around, and dad wanted something to do, so I was the fortunate one, got a go-kart, and we just kind of, I guess, never started working on the race car again. Just started racing karts from then on, and ran a lot locally all across the state, run the state series, won a couple races there, run nationals for a few years, of course, Daytona being the biggest dirt national, I think, even still, and made it all the way up to Delaware, had some top five. I guess around age 15, we quit running go-karts and tried running some open-wheel modifieds and just kind of run out of money and took a year off and started again. And just off and on, I guess, got in everybody's cars. My brother, Randy Dean, he worked on everybody's stuff and getting me in a car here and there, so that was always fun. And I just decided to, too much struggling, I guess, and decided we had to get a leg up on everybody and make something happen. So graduated high school and figured it was a good time to move off and go to college and try and follow in the footsteps of Alan Kulicki there. And went and got an education at UNC Charlotte and got a job with Hendrick Motorsports, and here we are.
And that, now that was your a kind of a childhood hero. Is that an appropriate way to say that?
Yeah, I mean, just with the past that we always had or with the struggle we always had to do what we wanted to do. It was neat from the beginning. As soon as you saw, you know, Alan on television, you know, of course they always publicized the struggles he had too, and how determined he was to make it, and all the stuff he went through and battles he fought to make it there, and sleeping in other people's houses and cars, and you know, just all the stuff he went without to make it, and then of course the success he had, and you know, it's just always really cool as a kid, you know, to look up to somebody like that, and it seemed like it was just a good path to take. And it was even cooler once I started at Hendrick, meeting some guys that worked with them and hearing the stories from them too, just made it that much more special, I guess.
Yeah, I had mentioned to you last week, I worked with Alan Quickie a little bit, not worked with him, but we had an hour chat on a racetrack, Eliana Speedway in Cherville, Indiana, about the first time he was ever there, and that was my home track, and we talked about where the best line was, what kind of speed they were running, what kind of times, what kind of tires. I mean, we had a nice old hour-long chat, and I followed him ever since. And it was tragic when he passed in 1993.
Yeah, it's kind of neat, or I shouldn't say neat, but, you know, everybody, you always hear, I guess, with, like, my parents and stuff, everybody says, you know, where were you when JFK, you know, was assassinated? It's kind of like I remember exactly where I was at when I first heard it up about the plane crash.
Yeah. Yes.
I actually was watching ESPN when the announcement was made. Keith Olbermann, who is on NBC News now, was the announcer at ESPN. And
is that right?
Did a cutaway from the regular show, and he announced it. And it was something else that day. But moving on, what's your goals, Wes? If you lived in a perfect world at the end of this season, what would be your accomplishment?
Accomplishment. I mean, I'm fairly simple, I guess, in a way. I just want to race. So, whether it's ASA or dirt late models or, push cars or cup cars, I just want to race every night, every day. Well, I guess my accomplishment at the end of the year is to go out and win some races and hopefully get in a position by the end of the year, whether it's through our, business we're trying to start up or through somebody else's, funding, with just to try and race full time and every week or three times a week, you know.
Now, why did you pick I mean, there's a lot of places where you can go race stock cars in this country, and all kinds of different ways to get it done. How is it that you came to find yourself in the ASA?
It's I mean, I've always had a lot of higher respect for a super late model than any other kind of car, and with the crate engines, it makes it not quite as super, but they're still the same cars, and they're still really fast compared to late model stock or something. And I've always liked touring. You know, it keeps it interesting and keeps you challenged. And to be able to go to the tracks that ASA runs at, you know, it's pretty special. And just they try to keep costs down, which helps out a little bit. But I mean, crate engines definitely was one of the biggest factors. But it's a pretty good series to be a part of right now, I think.
Well, you know, speaking of that, you just brought up something. You said the late model stock cars, and of course, up there where you are, that's one of the major racing divisions. Is the late model stocks. As a car builder, you probably know these things all inside out. What is the differences between? I mean, for the layperson who doesn't know all the technical terms, what is the big differences between like a super late model and an ASA car and a late model stock? How would you describe all that? Like, especially a late model stock in comparison.
Well, basically a super late model and an ASA car is identical, other than the engines. A true super late model has a 9-to-1 engine or 18-degree 9-to-1 engine, so they've got quite a bit more horsepower, and typically they weigh 150 pounds more. And the late model stock, the ASA car weighs 2,700 pounds. Late model stock weighs like 3,000 or 3,100 pounds, so they're heavier and basically run the same engine as an ASA car. And typically they run truck arms, being your old Chevy trucks, and still run steering boxes where straight rail super late models run rack and pinion steering, and just mainly in the suspension and the chassis itself, lighter, being super late models are lighter pretty much in all aspects.
So is a the super late models have a much bigger motor than the late model stocks?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't say twice as much, but it's 200 to 300 horsepower more. It's pretty significant.
So you live up there, and this is something I've always just been puzzled me. I've never asked the question, I guess, is why in the Carolinas and in Virginia and all up in that area, why is the late model stocks the big deal instead of super late models?
I'm not real sure. I guess it's just NASCAR country.
Yeah.
But it's the way it's gone. They used to race the Supers around here fairly regularly, and I don't know if they just couldn't draw a crowd or if it just cost too much, but they just kind of went towards late model stock.
Yeah. What did you say, Terry, there? You had something?
Well, I was going to say they run truck arms in the Nextel Cup cars, too. And when Dale Jr. was running some Nashville shows, his dad used to make him run truck arm cars, which, because that's what he was going to run in the future, he was way behind everybody else because they were running straight rail cars. And that was one of the stories about Dale Sr. Teaching Dale Jr. how to run truck arm cars. And truck arm cars just don't have the same capability as far as straight rail cars. I mean, they don't handle as well as what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, you know, these...
harder to get hold of the track.
Yeah, them super late models are fast. I mean, they just this last weekend at Wes over at USA International Speedway, Wayne Anderson won that 200-lap race there. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking I think, if I'm not mistaken, the top qualifying speed was like 140 miles an hour, which means those guys are going like 160 down the straight.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, that's fast, right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that a car like that will outrun a Busch car or a Cup car anywhere.
Well, that's what they say.
Nice track.
Yeah. That's what they said. They can. I've been told by some of them guys Wayne Anderson, them kind of guys have told me that they couldn't run them cars on like a big mile and a half track because they'd take off and go up in the air or something crazy.
Yeah, it'd be pretty scary if you ever got driver sided into a wall.
Yeah.
Well, they got soft walls now, Wes.
I know.
6 inches between you and the wall.
I know. A few years ago, they took them. About 5 or 6 years ago, they went down to Sebring. They had one of them fast car races down there at Sebring, and they blew up motors all over the place. Because there was one long straightaway that was like, I don't know, a mile long or something. Oh my God, a lot of blown motors. But it's interesting. So during the week, you're building cars. Is that's basically what you do for Hendrick?
I'm a shop engineer. So I do various projects from trying to model parts in the 3D CAD software to rating springs, do a fair amount of work with springs. I have played with some shocks in the past, filling in between guys moving here and there, and just a bunch of odd jobs, just trying to help the guys in the shop with any questions they have. From our race engineers off of the track, and they let me, if I run out of stuff to do, they let me play out in the shop some, so I'll go on weld and wrench on cars, work on the surface plate for a few months this year, so it's pretty diverse, I guess, in our shop.
Yeah. So are you getting, weren't able to go to South Georgia because of, obviously, the wildfires down there, so... your next race will be at New Smyrna Speedway. Are you excited about coming back to closer to your home turf?
Yeah, I can't wait. I think that's really going to be a fun racetrack. That's definitely somewhere I think that caters to how I like to drive. It seems a lot like Nashville, so which is been by far the coolest track we've been to so far, so I'm really excited anytime I get to drive, so I can't wait.
Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah, it'll be cool to see. We think this is going to be one of the most exciting races in a while, because we were just talking about that. New Smyrna has a way of that track is almost has a life of its own, and it has a way of bringing out the worst and the best in race car drivers somehow.
It should definitely be interesting then.
Yeah.
Maybe Rick Hendrick could come up and ask you to drive his ARCA car.
And I'm working on it as hard as I can, but it's just one of those things. You just got to race more, so that's what I'm fighting right now.
Yeah. So during the week now, you spend most of your time in the shop, and do you get to go racing on the weekend, or do they keep you home?
No, I don't travel with the team other than tests. That was part of the deal. I could have been the race engineer last year, and it's just I've got too much driver in me to be off at the racetrack working on other people's cars. So I decided to opt out of that to stay at the shop and go race our own stuff.
There you go. So, go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, I was going to say, is this going to be a lifelong passion for you, or is there some point where you don't think you'll be able to go any further? I hope you go all the way to NASCAR, but has this been a lifelong passion for you, Wes, to do the NASCAR thing?
Yeah, I mean, trying to think how to say this. I mean, you go out throughout the day and you catch yourself daydreaming or this and that, and it's like it's just 24/7, man. It's nonstop.
Yeah.
Race cars, and it's every chance you get, you're thinking about it and trying to figure out what you did a year ago to what you did yesterday and how to make it all better and to compete and win. And it's definitely the dream and the goal, and it's and I'm going to keep chasing it. And I think there's so many driver searches and this and that going on now. I mean, I think if I ever get the opportunity to be in one of those and they tell me that, you just don't have it, then I'd probably reconsider something then. But I'm ready for my chance and waiting on it and trying to get there.
That's right. That's the way to go. Like, we had mentioned David Ruderman before, it's like never say quit, And, I mean, David took him till his early 30s to get there, but he didn't quit, and he didn't have a bunch of money, and he's one of those stories, where perseverance and just keep it and never say I quit, you never know how it'll come out for you.
Yeah, you just gotta keep trying. That's all there is.
Yeah. So, go ahead, Wes.
I was just gonna say that's the only way. I mean, when you have nothing. Shouldn't say when you have nothing, but you don't have what everybody else has. It's definitely the drive to keep you going, and that's part of the fun of it too, is seeing how good you can do every week, knowing that your three sets of tires down and you didn't get the test for 2 days, 2 weeks before the race, and so it makes it that much funner, I guess.
Yeah, that's cool. So you'll get a test down there on Friday before the race. Are they doing it that way at New Smyrna?
I was talking with those guys actually today, and they haven't sent out the tech bulletin yet, but that's kind of what I was figuring, because they were advertising a Thursday practice, which we wouldn't be able to make, but they said that there's no practice the day before, so that kind of caught me off guard, but show up and race, so it should be interesting.
Oh, my, so there's not going to be a Friday practice there at New Smyrna.
That's the way it sounded to me. So.
Oh, boy. Well, that's going to make it even tougher for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's especially with the new surface and all. It's, we've got no idea what to expect, so
yeah.
We'll see what we got.
Hey Wes, I give you one clue. Fast.
Yeah. Well, that almost makes it easier sometimes.
Yeah.
Those fast tracks are a lot, I shouldn't say easier, but funner to drive, which makes it easier.
Well, like we were talking with Chris Fontaine, and he's very familiar with the track down there, and it's smoothed out a lot now. It's not as bumpy, and it's a much nicer track, good, much better facility, and it is a lot faster. But
all right, I think we've kept West.
That's cool.
Long enough, and thank you, Wes, for being on the show again. Hopefully this time all the technical issues are gone.
Yeah, we got those things out. We got them rid of them boll weevils. They're gone. So thanks a lot, Wes. We appreciate it, man. We'll see you down at New Smyrna. Wish you the best of luck, guy, and we'll catch up with you later.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, fellas, and I guess there's a fair amount I forgot to say or didn't get to mention. So my partner, Tim, updated our website, so you guys, anybody gets on the internet, check out westburton.net and can catch up on our sponsors and what all we're trying to do.
And who are your sponsors, man?
CNC Tools been our biggest help. They we're trying to get some parts out on the market through those guys. So we've been fixing and updating and stuff and trying to make better. And John Ford Headers has been another major sponsor and a big help to us. And Joe Gibbs Racing, Old Ace Manufacturing, got a bunch of product sponsors here and there, but we're still looking for the one big one.
There you go. All right, and that's westburton.com?
.net.
.net, westburton.net. There you go, man.
All right.
All right, very good.
Well, good luck to you, Wes, the rest of the year, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you.
All right, guys, thanks a lot.
Okay, man, see ya.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, man. That's Wes Burton. He's up there, works for Hendrix Motorsports, and is perhaps one of the not so well funded teams. But you know what? Guys like Wes, they never quit. And he's
we always got to have those guys to fill up and compete with the bigger boys.
Yeah, and it'll be fun. Terry, you know, we got to remind everybody before we go here on this upcoming race. www.racetalkradio.com. Dennis Michelson and Matt Prayer will be broadcasting the ASA race from Odessa, the Missouri 100, and they'll be broadcasting it live over the internet. So you go to that website, log on, and we will be watching for it, and then we'll see and talk to you all next week, I guess. Do we have some other announcements here, Terry? I think there was one you forgot, something about NASCAR Fast Talk on
I want to tell all the listeners that in approximately 2 Mondays,
it'll be June 18th, I believe, right?
Yeah, we're going to have a new show called NASCAR Fast Talk. It's going to be about NASCAR racing, the good and the ugly.
Yeah, maybe some of it. you're going to be getting into some of the stuff that makes life real interesting, I understand.
Oh, yeah. We're not going to hold back. We're going to just, you know, if we see something that we don't like, we're going to say it. If we see something we like, we're going to say it. But
that's right. And that's cool. And you're still working on who your co-host and all that sort of stuff is going to be?
Yeah, we're going to have a co-host. If we don't have a co-host the first couple of weeks, I can handle an hour.
Yeah, that's cool. And then on Tuesday night, always at 7 to 9 p.m. on Real Racing USA. And all you got to do is go to realracingusa.com, and you can find about all the shows, not just the ASA Fastlane, but
all the radio shows.
But tonight it was pretty cool. We talked to some three pretty good race car drivers and some nice young men. Sean Murphy, Chris Fontaine, and Wesley Burton.
Yep.
So
we'll hear a lot more about them and in the future races, I'm sure.
Until next time, this is Jack Smith and
Terry Wall
for the ASA Fastlane. See you later.